Hello and welcome to Emissaries of Profits, a production of Androids and Assets. This is a show where we are reviewing Deep Space Nine, episode by episode, or sometimes two by two, like today, when the episodes are less rich than others. We talk about sort of the economic and political happenings in Deep Space Nine, out on the Bajoran space station. I'm your host, Marshall.
I am your other host, Stephen.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. Today we are talking about episodes 11 and 12. The first one, Vortex, air date of April 18th, 1993.
That's right.
Quick rundown of this episode for those of you who haven't watched it since then, and we don't blame you in the least. In this episode, Quark obviously has some shady business deal going down. He's selling something.
A Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
A Fabergé space egg.
Something very valuable. Yeah. An artifact. He's buying it from the Mirrodorn twins.
The Mirrodorn are butt-face aliens, because that's what their foreheads look like. They're just like two big cheeks with just a big hole in the middle.
It's weird.
It's real gross. So the Mirrodorn have stolen something for Quark, and Quark's like, well, you made too much noise. Now I can't sell this. I can't.
Somebody has said that this is stolen. Yeah. And the Mirrodorn are like, this, no, we would never have stolen
this quality merchandise.
And then some third alien breaks into the room and shoots one of the Mirrodorn, and they die. And then Odo, who has disguised himself cleverly as a glass in the room, comes out and lays down the law. Everyone gets locked up.
Karate chops a Mirrodorn.
Settles the scene. And so then we find out that the Croden is the third alien, and he obviously has been hired by Odo to come in and break up the scene, steal the egg.
By Quark. He was hired by Quark.
Sorry, he was hired by... I said Odo. He was hired by Quark. He was hired by Quark to come in, break up the scene, steal the egg, so that Quark could make off with the egg in a completely safe way.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to pay the Mirrodorn.
Yeah.
What a
scoundrel. What manner of brigand is this?
This rogue. So then Croden is in prison, and he keeps telling Odo, like, oh, I know people just like you. I've met other shapeshifters. And Odo obviously falls for it and is like, what? No way.
Tell me about my people.
Yeah. I've never heard of shapeshifters before.
Can I just interject here to say,
no.
Given what we find out about shapeshifters later on, how does everyone not know about them?
I mean, yeah, like everybody should definitely know who shapeshifters.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody goes into the Gamma Quadrant, you'd be like, shapeshifters? Oh yeah, we've got one of those.
Yeah. Anyway, no spoilers.
So Croden keeps telling him, like, yeah. Hey, check out this little bauble that I have. And he has an item, like a thing around his neck that is like, it looks like a coin, but when you open it up, it's a kind of like a locket. But when you open the locket, it changes shape into a key. And Odo's like, holy moly, something that can change shape? It must
be me. I change shape.
Because I guess he's never seen Plato. Like,
he's got like three other buckets, and he comes home and greets his wife and kids.
it's just this really weird sort of a thing, though. Like, it's a thing that goes from one shape to one other set shape. Yeah. It can't take any other forms. You can't change the shape of it. And yet Odo is just like mesmerized by it, buys this whole story, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. I mean, Odo, this is very similar to when Odo spent a long time writing letters to Hasbro asking if he was a Transformer.
At this point, they find out, I think, what planet Croden is from in the Gamma Quadrant. And so then Sisko is contacting the Rikarian authorities, who are not nice people.
Just assholes.
Like, they're straight up, like, rude and belligerent when they contact them. Like, we think we might have a criminal from your planet. Does that sound familiar? Yes, he's ours. Send him over to us. Just quick question. What are you gonna do to him? Don't ask those types of questions. He's our prisoner. Send him over right now. He's like, okay, well, we don't really know you or have, like, an extradition treaty. We don't care about those sorts of things. You have a prime directive. You have to send him over to us. That's how it works. I'm pretty sure I read about that somewhere, prime directive. Oh, they said the words prime directive. There's nothing we can do now, even though this is an obviously spacefaring people who have a commensurate level of technology to us. Oh, boy. Guess we're in a real pickle here. Odo, send that guy home. You can drive him yourself.
Even though you're not a pilot.
And then Odo's just like, yeah, for sure. Like, I haven't completely fallen under this man's spell. I'll drive him straight home. No detours. No stopping at McDonald's. Nothing like that. Of course, as soon as the guy asks, Odo's like, sure, we can stop at McDonald's.
Yeah, well, we can stop at this planetoid.
I mean, also,
in the Chimera Vortex, but the Mirrodorn.
Also, the Mirrodorn, this is bizarre as well. They fly off in a runabout, and Sisko is like, I can't tell the Mirrodorn where you're going. I won't tell the Mirrodorn where you're going, but I'm somehow compelled to tell them that you have left the station, and I can't stop the Mirrodorn from following you. And even further, I can't warn you when the Mirrodorn start following you, because the Mirrodorn would also get the message I send out. As if Starfleet doesn't always send out, like, super confidential messages.
Yeah.
Just, like, from ship to ship.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. They're like, I'll just put it on a secure line, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
They don't have secure lines.
Listen, they're a vast
runabouts.
They're a vast subscription is up. They didn't renew. They just kept hitting delay, and then
there's budget cutbacks. Yeah,
and now secure line doesn't work. Look, now they're just running.
We're just gonna have to make it another 3 months until the budget comes up again.
Now they're just running the free version.
So they're just like, oh no, the Mirrodorn are leaving after Odo.
I hope everything's fine with Odo, I guess.
We don't know what's going to happen on the other side of the wormhole.
It will probably be fine.
As if also they don't have, like, a tractor beam and weapons on the space station that they could be like, hey, Mirrodorn ship, if you try to leave right now, we're going to kill you. I don't know. Somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. Weird. No. Anyway, they let the Mirrodorn go.
The Mirrodorn follow them. Yeah. The Mirrodorn come after Odo and Croton. They start firing on them. Croton's like, oh, wait, I know a great place we can hide from
them.
And so
the Mirrodorn, because they're twins and one of the twins was murdered, the other twin is on a blood feud, just for clarity. I know we talked about
that. Yes.
But yeah, that's the...
Because Mirrodorn, they come in twins.
Yeah.
And they're not just like twins, like we're twins. One twin is the other half of the other twin.
Yeah.
They're like one person in two bodies.
Yeah.
This is not just some slight that you've killed my brother. You've killed the only good part of me.
Yeah.
All that is good in this world has left, and now my only desire is to kill the man who killed the man that I loved.
Yeah. Mirrodorn twincest.
I mean, hey, as long as they're not hurting anybody.
I'm sure it's out there.
And it's consensual.
Anyway.
We're not here to judge.
No.
Directive.
I'm not judging. Yeah. Is that in the prime directive?
I think so. So they hide in this vortex thing, and then the Mirrodorn are like, hello, we watched you go in there. You can't hide from us. So then they land on a planet. They're like, now they won't find us on this planet. There's no way. And then the Mirrodorn start bombarding the planet. And then you find out that Croton has been lying this whole time. Surprise.
Yeah, because Croton told Odo that there was a shapeshifter colony on this planetoid in the Chimera Vortex.
Man,
that is some nonsense.
This is a spoiler, but there is no colony on the planetoid. There's nothing there except for...
Croton's daughter.
Croton's daughter, who was hiding, who was stowed away in a
stasis pod.
Yeah.
Which looked a lot like a box to me. but whatever.
So they open the box up. Out comes the daughter, and he's like, oh, so here's what happened.
I'm a
actually,
political prisoner.
the Ricari came and they killed my family. So then I killed a Ricari, and now the Ricari want to kill me. So I took my daughter and I left the planet. And I probably should have mentioned this to you earlier.
Should have discussed my refugee status with the Federation prior to.
And maybe you guys could have granted me asylum or something. Mm-hmm. Whoops, my bad.
That's still your problem, Odo.
And then Odo's like, oh, shoot. Okay, well, let's get out of here. And then he pulls they hide in a volatile gas cloud. And then
a tome air gas.
Yeah, tome air, clearly. You know how volatile tome air is.
Yeah, the volatile tome air gas, of which we are all so well familiar. Many an elementary school classroom...
destroyed
by the Tomer gas demonstration.
We really should move that.
We lost a lot of kids that way. It's very sad.
So the Mirrodorn are going to fire on the runabout, and they just quickly dart out of the Tomer gas.
And
the
Mirrodorn
fly into the Tomer gas and fire their weapons. Yeah. I don't know.
The Mirrodorn don't know about Tomer.
They've never encountered Tomer before.
Yeah, they're.
Also, he's not thinking straight. He lost his better half.
That's right. The part of him that knows about Tomer gas.
Raquel, don't go into there. It's Tomer gas. No, sorry, Raquel. You're already dead. Your warning goes...
So Raquel blows himself up, and presumably his crew. I don't know.
The ship is destroyed.
Yeah.
And then Odo's like, I guess you did a bad thing by killing some people, but
But you told me that a bad thing happened to you and you have a kid, so.
And I have believed every lie you've told me so far, so I have no reason to disbelieve you.
I see no reason to just release you into the Gamma Quadrant.
So then he's like, look, I know there's a Vulcan ship over here. Let me just pop you on that Vulcan ship and we'll just. Not get confirmation or anything that I returned you the way that I was supposed to. I'm sure the Ricari don't have to sign this form or anything that you've been returned to them. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll call it good. If Sisko asks, I'll lie. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, so they ask the Vulcans for assistance, and it's all very vague after that.
And the Vulcans are like, yeah, for sure. You've got a guy? Yeah. No problem.
We'll take care of your guy. Your boy. And that's exactly how the Vulcans talk, yeah.
It's finished.
Sure, whatever that means, yeah.
So that's Vortex.
Ooh. Oof-a-boof.
I mean, it's weird. Odo's supposed to be this, super skeptical cop figure.
Hard-nosed, yeah.
And yet one guy is just like, oh, man, my family killed... So I killed a guy. I'm a murderer, but also I did.
There's
it for
no
good
way to
reasons,
verify this,
and you can't tell. Odo's like, "Wow, that sounds super believable." Not even going to look into this at all. Believe you 100%.
Then he turns up the collar in his trench coat and walks out into the rain.
What?
You
knew this man was hired by Quark. Yeah. Quark doesn't hire honest. Yeah. Dealers?
Well,
why you were suspicious of the Mirrodorn.
To be fair, Croden is very clear that he doesn't lie. He just dissembles.
Yeah. So, I've never lied.
Just dissemble.
Told things that aren't true. I've just implied heavily by saying there is a colony of shapeshifters on that planetoid, maybe.
Yeah. So obviously, The super hard-nosed, hard-boiled detective of
he's got
Odo.
A heart, yeah, I guess.
He's got a heart, yeah. He's got a heart for that lumpy-faced guy.
Does Odo have a central nervous system, though?
This is another question we don't know. I mean, in this episode, a rock falls on his head and it knocks him unconscious, which is insane because earlier in the same episode, he is in glass form, thrown against a wall, and shattered. and then just reconstitutes himself from the broken pieces.
Which is just those two things seem very similar. You know, yeah, like yeah. being thrown against a wall as a glass mm-hmm. or having a boulder fall on your head as a human.
And obviously he could see and hear as a glass, which
yeah.
is...
Oh, yeah, no.
And never like, mind the fact that there's nowhere nearly the approximate, like, mass.
at all.
And there was clearly no weight differential. So where does Odo go? Like, how much does Odo weigh?
He goes into Zed space. Oh.
I love that we just are finding ways to talk about Animorphs in every one of these.
I mean, anytime Odo's involved, you have to talk about Animorphs.
That's true. I mean, it's basically an Andalite. Andalite bandit.
Yeah, I just... I don't... Odo, just as a person, continues to raise a lot of questions.
He makes no sense. He makes no fucking sense.
Because you've said before that Odo proves... Cartesian dualism, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's the Cartesian subject because he's got to have like thought matter, basically. he's a dualistic entity.
Yeah, which so I mean, as long as we just keep that in mind yeah. at all times, yeah. that will make a huge difference. As weird as it is, there's at least consistency in Sisko's behavior around...
extradition.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, and just like weird dealing nonsense. He's just like, okay, yeah, fine. This is easiest for me. So good. yeah. I don't really care.
If I have to extradite somebody to the Gamma yeah. Quadrant, no questions asked, we'll extradite.
You know it's best if there's no paper.
That's so the rule.
It's best if there's no documents. so that's... This is really...
As long as we don't have like yeah. a certified treaty with these people, yeah. then it's I don't better. Have to record any of what I've done or report it back to my superiors.
Yeah, so I mean, like, what kind of nebulous detention status do people incarcerated on DS9 experience that Sisko can sort of unilaterally behave this way? So it is kind of like, is DS9 a black site?
I think it is. I think there's probably, like, an admiral who thought this out ahead of time and was like, you know, this is going to be perfect because I've got some people who, like, I've got some Maquis yeah. war criminals.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to drop them on DS9
yeah.
and say, Odo, I need some answers from them.
Yeah.
And just, like, I can turn away, plug my ears.
Yeah.
I can't hear them scream.
Well, you can transfer them to detention under the theocracy of Bajor, that is not a Federation member, at your host facility there, and then they exist in obviously this very weird nebulous status. So this seems to be, I mean, and maybe we're reading way too much into this, but I don't think so. I think this is there's real big problems with this, and I mean, this whole thing, Sisko, like the Federation, all the Federation nobility kind of breaks down in the real politic of the frontier, and the quest for politics and power. So that's our take on Vortex.
Which I mean, like maybe that's like the observation they're making, but it's a sad observation,
yeah.
and I think it's a huge departure from mm-hmm. like. The optimism
yeah.
of Star Trek.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I think is partially at that part of that. I think is a conscious choice on behalf of the creative team for DS9. And I think part of it is just unintentional. Again, it's just like this whole the things that the normal political culture in America at the time was very much like, yeah, this is fine.
This is just what yeah, we do
this
now.
This is what we do. And I think because there's. Although certainly like, I mean, black sites as we knew them in the Bush era didn't really exist. There was sort of like, there was this thing where the U.S. would, you know, use nasty people from other parts of the world to do their dirty work and were very content to do so and felt that this impinged on their moral superiority in no appreciable way. Case in point, Osama bin Laden.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Moving on to battle lines.
Battle lines. What? Okay.
Whew.
I don't know. So this is Battle Lines, episode 12, air date of April 25th, 1993. Yeah.
So one day, you know, this one has like kind of a funny cold open because they're like talking about like, they're talking, basically they find like a, you know, Gul Dukat's like diary basically on a server. And it's just like, you know. It's like list of Gul Dukat's favorite crushes. who are the cutest pop music bad boys on Cardassia? No, no, they find some intelligence files on Kira, and they're trying to decide if they want to hide this from Kira or not. But in the end, Sisko, being a shit disturber, shows them to Kira, and she's very indignant that the Cardassian intelligence operatives underestimated her importance to the resistance. Yeah.
They called me a minor operative?
A courier for the leadership?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, which is funny, you know, Kira's ego about being a rebel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was...
Being an insurgent terrorist.
Totally fitting for her, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, you know, Kira's great.
And then Dr. Bashir sends a message up to the, I don't know, commander's office.
Yeah, he calls and says that that Kai Opaka is there.
You might want to come down here, Commander. Well, why is that? Kai is here? Oh, you should lead with that, you idiot.
Yeah. Charismatic speaker, Kai Opaka. Dalai Lama stand-in.
Kai Opaka doing her tour of the Federation planets.
Although we find in this episode she's never left Bay. This is the first time she's left Bajor.
Dang.
So that kind of puts a hole in that theory from episode one. But that's okay. Anyway, so Kai Opaka's on board and they're talking to her and she's like, hey, take me through the wormhole.
But she does it subtly, like super subtle. Subtly, she's like,
so I don't know.
So where's the wormhole? Where's it at? Like, I'd love to be able to like see it. And they're like, yeah, but it only opens like when a ship goes through. And
there's no ship scheduled for today.
Oh, that's a real shame. I wish someone around here had access to like ships.
Real shame.
And permission to go through the wormhole. Does anybody? Do you know anybody like that, Sisko? Because, like...
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, long and the short of it is, they go... Kai Opaka is there very nebulously checking on a prophecy, air quotes there.
The whole time. So everything that happens,
is just like, oh, because of prophecy. Yeah, there's some prophecy stuff. You know, prophecy's weird. Prophecy is weird. So they go out, and then there's, like, a signal from a planet, and I don't know what Sisko is thinking here. Because it's Sisko and Kira and Kai Opaka on the Yangtze.
Yeah, and Kira's like, oh, there's this weird message. It's repeating. It kind of looks like a distress signal.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's go home. And the Kai's like, would you normally go home? Or would you go check that out? Because, like, pretend I'm not here. What would you do?
I might be the head of state of your host planet, but I think you should go check out this potential combat situation.
And Sisko's like, okay. All I'm going to pretend you're not on the ship right now.
How? Why?
I mean, yeah, I would call him up for that. That's for sure.
Yeah,
court martial.
Yeah, that's. Oh my God, Sisko. Anyway,
so they fly off, follow the signal, and lo and behold, they get shot at.
Yeah, and crash.
It's they're shot at bad. Like the shields are no good. Whatsoever.
They're knocked out of the sky. The ship is on fire. Kai Opaka dies.
Yeah.
Of her injuries on impact. It's bad.
It's bad.
This is extremely fucked.
Super terrible. Kira breaks down.
Kira's real sad about it.
Yeah. Real sad about it. Begins funeral rites or something.
Yeah, says some prayers, which is...
You know, good. Yeah, good for her. And then they find out that now there's, like, whoever's living on this planet approaches them and has weapons and is like, you coming with us? Because they all talk like that. They're all of the soldiers are like super disheveled. They look like they've been like put through hell and back.
They're also face tattoo aliens, but you can barely tell.
Because most of them have like scarring or like.
Well, one of the head alien of the Ennis, we find are one group. Mm-hmm. And we find that he's got like a missing patch of hair and then like a scar on his forehead, which I took to read that it was like they all have a tattoo on the top corner of their face, and I take it that that was taken off in some sort of ritual humiliation, and that scarring was
an explosion
torture wound. Yeah, but I think it seems deliberate because normally on the other Ennis and Nol Ennis, it's like there's a tattoo there.
Yeah, like but I thought it looked like he went through a fire.
Fair enough.
Anyway, whatever. They're in a war zone. So Yeah, the Ennis are like, wow, so like you're a doctor? Like maybe you should do
Bashir's with them.
Your doctory stuff.
We forgot Bashir passively aggressively invited himself along.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Whatever. He's there. Bashir's already told you that he's on the runabout.
Yeah.
You can assume how he got there by being a dick. And Bashir's like, God damn it, let me help Kira. Because Kira's wounded.
Yeah.
So like he does some doctory stuff and then he's like, maybe I can train some of these people to be like battle medics.
Yeah.
At the very least. Like I can't
they don't
cure
have time for the Federation
all.
Medical exam, but
yeah. So and then they're ambushed by their enemies. A firefight breaks out.
Yeah.
It looks like they're in trouble. Kira does her heroics. Grabs a fallen soldier's gun, shoots an overhang,
yeah.
And bam, saves the day. And then she's like, what the heck were you doing? You guys are sorry excuses for soldiers.
You're a shitty militia. And they're like, we used to care. And then you see like everyone gets up.
All of the soldiers the dead that had just died just stand up and they're like,
What the hell? Yeah, we used to care more, but now it's like, whatever.
Yeah, and this is also when Kai Opaka comes back.
Yeah, because she's like...
She just like walks in and they're like, what?
So
no way,
yeah, and so
Kai?
We find that basically what happened is two groups of humanoids, the Ennis and the Knoll Ennis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they lived on a single planet,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, so a group that calls themselves the Ennis and a group that... I don't know, refuses to be identified as the Ennis. Knoll, some sort of like
maybe it's like
negation.
Anti-Ennis.
Yeah, the anti-Ennis.
We're not the Ennis.
We define ourselves by you.
But we're not you.
But we're not you. By how not you we are.
We wear helmets that look like we're from Star Wars, A New Hope.
Yeah. No, you know, I think they look like Cadians from like 40K. I think it's like hobo bikers versus like dirty Cadian. Sorry, not Imperial Guard. Adeptus Astartes. No, not Astartes. Adeptus Militarum. Yeah, there we go. Ooh, I almost really embarrassed myself there for all the 40K nerds out there.
Yeah, they no, for sure. It would be embarrassing for the 40K nerds, not for the fact that,
that
you
know.
Like 40K at all.
I don't like it.
Well, you seem to know a lot about it.
I know
about
a lot about it, yeah.
That's too, even more
I've
embarrassing.
Too much of my life into this point.
I don't like 40K. I just read about it in all of my spare time.
Not all of my spare time. Anyway. I apologize for nothing. But yes,
so
Cadian, you got weird space Cadians and you got weird hobo bikers. And that's the Ennis and the Knoll Ennis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they explain eventually that they had a never-ending war on their planet. And
basically they were sent up as punishment to be endlessly resurrected.
Yeah, they couldn't come to a peace treaty between their two people because the two sides hated each other so much that the only way that they could figure out a way to stop fighting was to have like a ceremonial group representing the two of them that would continue to fight for all of eternity.
Yeah.
So they created a prison planet and they created these like nanites that would resurrect these people, not cure them entirely because like their wounds don't necessarily go away. It's like anything fatal is healed. And beyond that, it's sort of like, we'll put you back together good enough.
Yeah, because people seem to accumulate scars.
Yeah, they've got like the scars and the like limps like, and,
you know,
and things like that.
Whatever it is.
Who knows? I'm not an Ennis or a Knoll Ennis scientist, so I wasn't part of this.
They don't have any either.
Well, I mean, not these ones at least.
Yeah.
And then they constructed an intricate like satellite system that would surround the planet.
Shoot down anybody that came to try to rescue
so,
them.
So like nobody, they're like, they will fight for eternity. And so then the planet presumably now has peace because they know that there's a group fighting
for eternity. How the war gets fought. I just need to know that it's being fought. I just need to know that some Ennis and Knoll Ennis are somewhere killing each other. I don't have to see it. I just need to know that it's happening.
Which is really incredibly dark. unbelievable. I can absolutely see somebody reaching that conclusion. Look, don't worry. Mm-hmm. The war is still being fought. You and I don't have to fight it.
Yeah.
But rest assured, people are dying daily. Cool. Good enough for me.
Cool. Good world peace plan.
And then Bashir also finds out that if you remove a person who
once
has these
died.
Nanites in them,
which you get when you die, because Bashir and Sisko and Kira don't have them yet.
Yeah, well, but, or something. They might have them. I don't know. It wasn't made entirely clear. It's that the nanites are the thing keeping you alive after that, though.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take them off of the planet, those nanites will cease to function.
And that person
and you'll
revert
to back
roots.
To a stage of death.
Yeah.
So I think Sisko and Bashir and Kira might have them, but since they're still alive on their own.
Yeah, fine.
So then before they even tell the Kai that they can't take her off the planet because she'll die, the Kai's like, guess what? I know that I died, and by the way, I'm not leaving. I'm here for a purpose, and my purpose is, I guess, to convert the Ennis and the Nol Ennis to believe in
the prophets,
and stop fighting. So this is the other key thing that maybe I've jumped over at this point. They do set up a
they're trying to get everyone off, and they try and set up a peace summit between the Ennis and the Nol.
And they do set it up. The Ennis are like, all right, well, I'm willing to talk if they're willing to talk. And he's like, but they'll never be willing to talk. So it's pretty sure this is going to be doomed from the beginning. But then the Nol Ennis are like, yeah, sure. You want to talk about peace? We'll talk about peace. And they're like, I'm super shocked by this, but sure, let's do it.
Yes. Anyway,
this is
the peace summit
completely
ends in
accurate representation of this episode.
Anyway, the summit ends in bloodshed.
Yeah, one side, gets
the Nol Ennis
surprised or something, and
the Nol Ennis draw first blood.
Then all of a sudden, they're stabbing each other with pokey things.
And Bashir's in there, like rolling around. And
yeah,
that's when he tells Sisko, "If you die in the game, you die in real life."
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then Sisko and Bashir and Kira are very careful to not die.
Yeah.
Nobody attacks them, or if they do, Kira, like...
Yeah, well, they're really focused on just, like, bayoneting each other to death.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's very heavy metal.
So then Kaiopak is like, I'm not leaving. I need to convert these people to the one true religion.
Yeah.
This is my life's goal, my life's purpose.
The prophets sent me here.
And the prophecy works in weird ways. And like, I can't quote you the page number, but this is definitely a real prophecy. So don't bother looking it up when you get home. Like, 100% true thing. This is a prophecy.
100 P.
So like, don't worry about it. My life's purpose will be fulfilled in this life, or like the one after this one, when I'm brought back again as a zombie again and again and again.
Zombie Kai.
So like, but like, since I can't die, I can't fail either, right? Like, I have eternity.
Yeah.
To convert these people. So yeah. Like,
and I will
pretty sure I'm going to pull it off.
With that old time religion, I will eventually bring peace to this prison colony.
So those people needed.
Which is cool. So Kaiopak is going to do that. And then, the Rio Grande comes, picks him up.
Yeah. Oh, this is a super important part.
Yeah.
Because you've got
Chief O'Brien
and Dax on the Rio Grande runabout, and they're like, "How are we ever going to find these people? I don't know what happened to the signal that was being sent from that satellite. Apparently, it stopped being sent because they're not picking it up anymore.
Yeah,
weird. So they're just flying around, and then they're like, "Oh, a needle in a haystack.
You need
good
a magnet.
Thought. You need a magnet."
So he invents something called a magnometer, which is something he just invents on
he's
the
like, we just need a magnometer. Yeah. And Dax is like, great idea, but what is that? And he's like, I don't know. I'll tell you when I've invented it. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Like, and then what?
He whips up a magnometer. Yeah.
And then they get to the system, and they're like, oh, I see what happened here.
Satellite shot him down. Classic.
We could beam them out, though, if we could just widen the gap in these satellites a little bit. okay, I've got just the thing.
I'm going to invent a satellite tricking probe to pull the satellites apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then does that.
Bam.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, he turns out to be a freaking genius.
Yeah. O'Brien is a magic Irishman. He's just a tech leprechaun.
He's the smartest scientist on that ship.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet somehow, I don't know, he's still got to work for his money.
Well, you know, he needs to be that sassy Irish magic, right?
So they're on the Rio Grande, and then they're able to beam off Commander
Sisko
and
Kira and the Doctor.
That's right. Yeah. Those are the characters on this episode.
The character, yeah.
Which does mean, of course, that the Yangtze King is left behind.
And I'm sure we'll never see that ship again. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
And then they fly home.
And there's no consequence.
And at some point, the Bajorans are like, so where is the Kai? And the rest of the Deep Space Nine is just sort of like, why don't you just like send a ship up here near the wormhole? And then as soon as we hear anything, like, you'll be the first to know.
We'll give you a blow-by-blow once we know anything, yeah.
And the Bajorans are sort of like, okay, cool. That's great. That's fine.
Cool.
Not a lot of concern about the head of state there.
Yeah.
But it is a theocracy.
Yeah.
I guess she has absolute power over the provisional government. So
if she wants to, like, go and be killed somewhere, that's her business.
That's how it works, right? Like when you're the absolute monarch of a place,
just like,
just do whatever you want. I'm 100% sure that that's exactly
I feel fairly confident that it's not like the next episode is gonna be like, Sisko, the Bajoran provisional government is calling again about the Kai. We'll never hear about
just send them to voicemail.
Yeah, we'll never hear about this again. Which is extreme, and that's the extremely frustrating, I think, politically. Because guess what? Losing the head of state when you're like a military, like a diplomatic military mission to like a state, and you kill that head of state dies in your custody. And
pretty sure every Federation member on that station would be packing their bags, and the Enterprise would be coming, turning back around, picking them up, and.
Yeah, it'd be over. Yeah, you'd be done. Your career as a commanding officer and your entire like senior command staff is over at that point. You're done.
And the Bajorans are not going to let the Federation administer the space station anymore. I'm like, so you just killed our head of state.
Fuck you.
Thanks, but I think we're probably good to handle this space station.
We're going on
our own now. We're gonna just give it a whirl.
We're going with the Vulcans
or something.
Yeah, we're going with the Klingons.
Do you know what the Romulans are up to these days? Can we invite them in?
You know, the Cardassians weren't bad.
Cardassians never killed our Kai. That's for sure.
Never killed their Kai. Yeah, damn straight.
Though I do imagine that like the Cardassians must have tried to install like. An anti-Kai.
Anti-Kai, yeah.
Like,
well, that Kai in Avignon.
Right, yeah. So that we did see the death and resurrection of Kai Opaka on this episode. That's probably the most notable thing.
Yeah, and then just like how that's not going to be a thing.
Not a problem.
It's extremely frustrating.
Not a problem at all.
For us and the kind of nerds we are, but whatever.
Yeah. All right, so... Like I said, a couple of less rich episodes.
Oh, what is going on?
I mean, okay, we're still in season one. Just like, bear with us. We've only got another...
70.
We're halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
We're halfway through the season, sorry.
Yeah,
halfway through
the season. 100, so like, what, there's 118 episodes total? Something
like that.
We're almost down to 100, so... Yeah,
tune in, bring a friend... like just send this to all of your friends and encourage them to listen because it's a great, great show.
Yeah.
And also, you know, rate us and leave comments on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
That's super helpful. And if you want to interact with us directly, you can find me on Twitter. I'm Econo Boyd.
And I'm Steve Droids.
You can also send a message straight to the show. It's @AssetDroid.
Yeah. We also check that.
We do, yeah. We follow along with that.
We check the Twitter of our own podcast.
You can find out, you know, if you follow Acidroid, you'll be the first to hear when new episodes are released. Yeah, great. It's a great follow, for sure. It's unobtrusive in your Twitter feed, that's for sure.
We only give you the barest necessities.
Yeah.
I'm not talking. Did you see the fight last night? What's going on in WWE? No, none of that. None of that.
We're not a WWE review podcast.
Yeah.
So, thanks for being with us, and we hope you stick with us.